This hour of the Jason Rand Show brought to you by Farrah.com. There's a lot of news happening all around the world and right here at home. Producer Tom, do me one quick favor and push that button.
What's trending?
National.
A Democrat from California did her level best to try to shame Jamie Dimon. He's the CEO of Chase Banks. She wanted to shame him because one of his employees that lives in her district, this council or this representative, Katie Porter, one employee lives in her district, doesn't make enough money to survive. That according to her. Now, of course, if we're going to look at this reasonably, we say it's not the CEO's fault. Not in the real world. But in this weird world we now live in where there's no personal responsibility whatsoever, we turn to the CEO because the CEO is rich, because the CEO is a rich white dude. They're to blame for everything, including someone who's not able to afford an expensive apartment. The representative is from California. Her name is Katie Porter. Here she is talking with Jamie Dimon.
She had $2,425 a month. She rents a one-bedroom apartment. She and her daughter sleep together in the same room in Irvine, California. That average one-bedroom apartment is going to be $1,600.
Wait, just real quick. Is that the average rent? Is that what she's paying? I get that that's the average rent, but is that what she is paying? Because if she's paying that, I would argue, when we say the average, that means there are some apartments a little bit higher than the 1600. And guess what? Wait for it. Some of them are lower. If right now she's truly struggling, like she says, and she's paying that 1600, that median, why don't you find an apartment that's a little bit cheaper? But continue.
She spends $100 on utilities. Take away the 1700 and she has net $725.
Okay, so now she's claiming she spends $1,700 on rent and utilities. Again, none of this is actually put out there and fact-checked. This is just her claiming that. And it's weird that she just happens to rent an apartment at the exact average rental rate in this area.
She's like me. She drives a 2008 minivan and has gas.
She's not like you, right? Because you mean she owns the same car as you. Because you're not telling me you're struggling to pay for rent, and there's probably a difference there in life choices and maybe education in area that you live. I'm just throwing that out there.
$100 for car expenses and gas, net $325. The Department of Agriculture says a low-cost food budget, that is ramen noodles, a low food budget is $400. That leaves her $77 in the red. She has a Cricket cell phone, the cheapest cell phone she can get for $40. She's in the red $117 a month. She has after-school child care because the bank is open during normal business hours. That's $450 a month. That takes her down to negative $567 per month. My question for you, Mr. Dimon, is how should she manage this budget shortfall while she's working full-time at your bank?
Oh, it's a gotcha question. Oh, it's a gotcha question. She wants him to say, oh, she just can't. You know what? I pledge here and now we will double her wages and all the wages of people who work at the lowest rate positions in our organization. Oh, no, that's not what he does.
I don't know that all your numbers are accurate. That number is generally a starter job.
She is a starting employee. She has a six-year-old child. Okay, this is her first job.
Okay, right then and there. That is a key point, isn't it? This is a starter job. This is her first job. First job. And she's a single mother. Now, I understand that. But why is that the problem of the CEO? These are starter jobs. They are designed to be first-time jobs. They are not designed to take care of a family or a kid. That's not what they're designed to do. So let me tell you something. Why are you having a conversation with the CEO of Chase? Why are you not grilling this individual constituent of yours and talking to her about life choices? Why are we not having just a general conversation that, hey, when you choose to have a kid, understand that it's going to be an added expense? Understand that when you choose to live in a neighborhood that is out of your price range, you will have to make sacrifices elsewhere. Understand that when you choose to get into a relationship, if that happened in this case, with someone who just wasn't the right fit, there are consequences. It is okay and appropriate to have that conversation. It is not always appropriate to grill the CEO of Chase Banks in a gotcha moment to try to get him to admit guilt for something he has no control over whatsoever. Can we all acknowledge right here, right now, can Katie Porter, this congresswoman from California, acknowledge that if this constituent of hers didn't have a child, would her financial outlook be a little bit different? Can we all just say yes, that that is a fact? I'm not saying put the kid up for adoption. I'm simply saying we can acknowledge that in this case, assuming this was a life choice, can we just assume that her financial outlook would be different? Okay, yes. Can we also acknowledge that if she was in a relationship with another individual who had a job, this conversation would be different? Could we also acknowledge that if she took on roommates, a roommate, maybe get two bedrooms or three bedrooms with someone else, the outlook would be a little bit different? The answer, of course, is yes. But that's not the answer that Representative Porter wants.
You can get those jobs at a high school, and she may have my job one day.
So she may, but Mr. Diamond, she doesn't have the ability right now to spend your $31 million.
Okay. That's why she's angry. The starter job doesn't pay $31 million. Oh, I'm sorry, Katie. I'm sorry you're not going to be able to do that. You know what? But that's life. You're not owed $31 million. You're not owed a dollar. You're owed exactly what you agree to when you take on a job, starter or not. I'm not owed any more than what I agreed to make here at KTTH. Producer Tom is not owed any more than what he agreed to take on for this particular job. You are not owed anything beyond what you agree to. And if you do not like that, there are other opportunities for you. If you cannot understand that a starter job is just that, a starter job, where you're not going to get rich off of, what you're not going to do is be able to have the financial freedom of someone making $31 million a year. If you can't accept that, that's on you. That's what we would call a you problem.
Pathetic.
She's short $567. What would you suggest she do?
She should ask you for a loan. How about that? How about reach out to the congresswoman and say, can I borrow $500? How about that? Why is this so difficult to understand?
I don't know. I'd have to think about that.
Would you recommend that she take out a JPMorgan Chase credit card and run a deficit?
I don't know. I'd have to think about it.
I know the answer. No, you shouldn't do that because you're already making a problem even worse. That's a choice that you would make, and it's probably a choice that she's already done given how this woman here, this congresswoman here, is talking about the dire situation that she's in.
Would you recommend that she overdraft at your bank and be charged overdraft fees?
Well, that's a stupid question. How about this? You're blaming him for your overdrafting? You're blaming the CEO for Chase for you spending money that you know you don't have. Okay, got it. Got it. Cool. Thanks, Representative Porter. You really know what it is you're talking about. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending in Seattle?
So Seattle childcare has never been more in demand, according to a local blog. It's called localbabysitter.com. They spoke with 15 non-chain daycare facilities and say they're all full. And they've got wait lists between 6 months and 2 years. Now, as a result, anecdotally, this is not a scientific study or anything, they're saying they're hearing that daycare is getting more expensive. And that makes sense, right? I mean, this is a basic supply and demand issue. When you don't have a huge supply of something, but the demand exceeds the supply, you end up having to pay a little bit or a lot more for the same exact service than you would if there was a ton of supply. And so when we look at something like this, you can go down two paths, right? You can go down the path that Katie Porter in California wants to go down, which is this just means you should be getting paid more because it's not fair that you can't afford these services that are voluntary, that you take on voluntarily. That's just not fair. Or you can go down the path that I'd prefer we all go down, which is use this as an opportunity to once again have an important conversation that we generally ignore, the importance of family and the importance of family planning. The importance of family means, hey, if you're going to have a kid, awesome. I'm assuming it's going to be the best experience of your life. But you should probably plan for your family members to be there to help out. Do you have a mom or a dad, an uncle or an aunt? Do you have a structure in place to help give you the support that you need once you go back to work? Now, if the answer is yes, awesome. Then I've just solved you a problem with having to spend money. Because daycare can be incredibly expensive. I just saved you thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. Number two, we should maybe also have a general conversation yet again about family planning. Are you ready to have a kid? If you're not ready to have a kid and you're choosing to engage in sex, awesome, good for you, have a great time, maybe do it safely. Do it safely so you don't end up getting pregnant and having a child when you're not able to afford that situation. But again, we can't have this conversation. I guess it's politically incorrect. Progressives don't want us having that conversation. Instead, they want us to have the conversation of, well, they can't afford it, so we should definitely force rich white guys to pay more. It's Jamie Dimon's fault, guys.
Hey, you guys. It's Jamie Dimon's fault. CEO of it's his fault.
Is Jamie the father?
No.
How is it his fault?
I don't get paid enough, and they charge me overdraft fees if I spend more money than I know I have.
Oh, okay. Got it. 1-800-465-8770. You can use that number to text us on the None Better Tax Resolution Hotline. 1-800-465-8770. Make sure when you send in your text messages, you tell us your name and where you're texting us from so we can give you a little bit of a shout out. Right now, let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Foodie edition.
Oh, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, how we love you. You told us not to eat meat. You told us not to eat burgers. It's bad for the environment. What you probably were not expecting was your words of wisdom actually got us all wondering where the best burger in Seattle is. And so now producer Tom is on a mission. He is on a mission to find the absolute best burger.
Maybe we shouldn't be eating a hamburger for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Tom here, and I'm looking for the best burger in the city of Seattle, or could you say Master of Burgers? I went to the University District to check out Burger Master. They have a second location in Northwest Seattle. I ordered their original burger, which they call Burger Master. This is another 60-second burger review brought to you by the Jason Rantz Show. It's an average-sized burger that looks bland and basic. The taste? Bland. And calling it basic would be generous. Here's the deal. It's a thin patty. And ask yourself this question. Should tomatoes be supplementary or should they be the main part of the meal? The tomatoes were just as thick as the burger and they doubled them up. So the ratio is 2-1. I don't even know what the bun was. Some sort of stale wheat comprised form of bread. It's a 1/4-pound burger of grass-fed beef raised in Skagit County. It comes with American cheese, relish, lettuce, and tomato. The meat is bland and doesn't taste like anything. I literally set it down and stared at it halfway through the meal. I went for the fries a number of times before the burger was gone, and the fries were just very average. 45 minutes after consuming, I thought, I don't think I'll go back there. Now that I've railed against this burger, it's important to note that with some minor improvements, this burger can become your typical fast food burger. They need to cut the tomatoes thinner or just get rid of them, totally replace that thing they're calling a bun, and just make it look more appetizing. Until then, you're not getting your money's worth. Oh, and on the money side of things, you're paying $6.39. But don't worry, you can add a patty or 3 strips of bacon for just $1.99 extra. I'll give the Burger Master from Burger Master a 4 out of 10. What do you think of their burger? Where should I go next? Tweet me, at NewProducerTom. This has been another 60-second burger review brought to you by the Jason Rantz Show.
Wow. I feel like that's the worst burger review you've ever given. And you were mean.
As in,
I think you were mean.
As in ratings wise, or like you disagree and that's a really
ratings.
Good burger. Oh, yeah, that is the worst.
You were just rude.
Because it's lazy. It's a lazy burger.
The thing is, and by the way, if you want to read the review and see the photo of the burger, go to ktth.com. It looks like the burger I would like. It
really?
Kind of looks like I like the burgers that are not professionally staged for you. I just happen to like those burgers. I will say this, because you and I had a conversation before we did this particular review, because we have fans over at Burger Master. And in fact, one of the fans brought, this was when I was doing mornings, brought me and the crew lunch after the show. And that always, giving me free things always boosts my spirit. And they even took off the bun so I can have like a paleo version of it. I didn't dislike the burger, but to be fair, by the time we got it, it was because they drove it down from, because where is this? Northgate-ish, right?
Well, this one was in the universities. There's a few locations.
So the one we got came from the Northgate area. So by the time it got here, it was kind of cold. It was all right. I don't like to be mean to people who give me free things, right? It was all right. You really just didn't like it.
I thought it was lazy, and that
it looks
that
so good.
Rubbed off on me.
I'm not gonna lie. Looking at it makes me want to. Because this burger doesn't look unlike a lot of other places that are comparable to Burger Master, right? This doesn't look dramatically different from something you'd get at Dick's, and Dick's is my favorite burger.
I think the bread looks better.
I will give you that. The bread from Dick's looks better.
Look, you're basically eating a tomato burger. Look at the tomatoes compared to the patty. They're so thick and they're on top of each other.
You're a tomato bigot.
I'm not a tomato bigot. I'm not a tomato bigot.
Because your name is Tom Amato, and if you say it fast, it's tomato.
Some people call me Mato.
Yeah, I don't. There you go. For more information, check out KTTH.com. But remember, make sure you tell producer Tom where it is you want him to go next. For example, we just got one from someone who said Broiler Bay in Bellevue, inexpensive and flame grilled. So maybe you should expand out a little bit from the Seattle area to get your burgers. Again, you live in Auburn, hop, skip, and a jump away from a lot of great burger places in Pierce County. You can just go there as well. I'm just throwing that out there.
Well, I will. But first, I got to find out Seattle.
I mean, do you? Do you, though?
I think I do. There's a lot of people who are very interested.
Text us in your recommendations, 1-800-465-877. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Let's get political.
So a tough anti-abortion bill was just signed into law in Ohio by their governor, Mike DeWine. And it's certainly going to get challenged. The previous governor, John Kasich, said no to this bill twice. He vetoed it. But again, now they have a governor who is an actual conservative who said yes. Now, the reason why this is getting a lot of attention is because it bans abortions once you can detect a fetal heartbeat. It's controversial because you can detect a fetal heartbeat about at the 5-week mark, which means this effectively bans abortions. Now, it's going to be challenged, and let's be very clear about this. The people who challenge this, they are going to 100% win in court. This is clearly an attempt to get it to the Supreme Court where they think conservatives are going to be able to overturn Roe v. Wade. They will not be able to overturn Roe v. Wade. Not yet. You get one more conservative justice on there replacing a liberal one, yes, you have a shot. But the truth of the matter is you put this in front of the Supreme Court yet again, Justice Roberts is going to side with the liberals on this. And I'm generally okay with why he would do it. I may be anti-abortion. I'm anti-abortion for a little bit different reasons. I don't know when life begins. I have no clue whatsoever. No clue whatsoever. That's a question only God is going to be able to answer. However, I err on the side of life because I don't know. I don't like any side that tends to say, oh, I'm certain life begins here or life doesn't happen until the... That's nonsense. You have no idea. You're making a guess. And I'll respect your guess. I just err on the side of life. Justice Roberts, and arguably Justice Kavanaugh, maybe, we'll see. Generally, people who are strong believers in the Constitution are not going to take away a right that has been firmly established. And at this point in 2019, the right to an abortion has been firmly, very firmly established. So if you get in the way of that kind of right, generally, the Supreme Court's not going to want to get involved. Now, maybe they'll punt and say this is an issue for Congress to decide. This is beyond the scope of what we want to get into. They might do that. And if that's really where you're at, if you are that passionate about abortion, then you should put in office more people in Congress who will be able to pass laws that restrict a woman's ability to get an abortion. It's really that simple. It's really that simple. Now, of course, I say it's really that simple knowing that it's not that simple, but that's really what it takes. I don't necessarily like going to the courts to take away rights that have been well established, even if I don't necessarily believe it's a right. It just seems like that's the wrong move. And Supreme Court justices tend to agree with my position on this. Not abortion per se, but I'm saying they agree with the position of we don't like to take away rights that have been firmly established. And I'm okay erring on the side of not taking away rights that have been established, even if it means a right, quote unquote, like abortion, is continued. But again, if you think this is going to go to the Supreme Court and you're going to win anything, you're not. You get one more liberal justice out, replaced by a conservative, then you might win this. But we'll see. You're listening to The Jason Rant Show. Let the onslaught of angry texts commence. 1-800-465-8770. 1-800-465-8770. That's None Better Tax Resolution Hotline.
Kent, Olympia, Everett, Sammamish.
This is the Big Local on the Jason Rant Show.
Sumner, Woodinville, Des Moines.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
Hey, look at the time. It's 4:30 on a weekday afternoon. That means it's time for the Big Local, brought to you by Sean Keller Smiles by Design. The concept is very simple. The media is hyper-focused on Seattle, so they mostly talk about Seattle. So we spend a segment every weekday at 4:30 talking about the communities you live in, talking about the communities you care about most, and we completely ignore the city of Seattle. And we start this afternoon in Snohomish, where 71-year-old Lanny Johnson is on a hunger strike. She just got to day 12 or day 13. She's on a hunger strike to raise awareness for orcas, but also rev up her metabolism, because that's actually what these kinds of things also do. Oh, and she's nuts also. That's the other part. She's probably a little nutty. That's generally what I say about people who are willing to do these types of stunts for things that they're pretending to care deeply about when we've got way worse problems that we need to focus on. But okay, this is what she's passionate about. Kudos to her. The AP says she sits in front of the Washington State Capitol building each day with a sign reading, "Solidarity with starving southern resident orcas." She spoke with Cairo 7 TV and said, "Hey, you know, the orca team from Inslee, they're doing good, but it's just not enough.
I chose 17 days to emulate Calaqua, who carried her dead baby for 17 days last summer. The Orca Task Force and Governor Inslee are doing a great deal of work. But all of their work will result in needed improvements years from now. We don't have years."
She knows that this is futile, right? It's totally futile. It's not going to happen. It's not going to do anything. It's not even willing. Not that I don't want her to die. I want her to stop this immediately and eat a burger, just preferably not at one that producer Tom doesn't like. But if you're not willing to go the full length of what a traditional kind of hunger strike is, then you're not fully committed, right? And it's okay not to be fully committed. To be fully committed to that degree indicates the orca situation is more important than all of these other issues that could literally lead to our demise. I care about the orcas to a degree. I don't want to see any mammal or species. I don't want any of them to just die off, except for the mean ones that kill us. Like, they can die too. But orcas, fine. They're majestic creatures, but I mean, they're ugly and I don't quite understand. But I'm pretending that they're majestic because you guys seem to think that. I don't quite understand why you want to go on a hunger strike to this degree. And it's not like you're bringing attention to an issue that we haven't already brought attention to, right? I mean, we've been having this conversation. The governor, who hasn't been in Washington State for some time, he wants $1.1 billion for orcas. I mean, that seems to indicate that they've got a little bit of a handle on what they believe is a serious situation. What if it turns out she's just doing this because she needs to lose some weight? Because, you know, I'm doing an intermittent fast. I've been intermittent fasting for the last 7 days. I feel great. I've been doing it with our sponsor, Evolve180WeightLoss.com. So I'm doing a keto protocol. And have you ever heard of 16-8, producer Tom? Have you ever heard of that? So you're fasting for 16 hours, and then you're only eating within the 8-hour window. Technically, I'm now on hour number 20 or 21, having not eaten anything. The first day or two, it kind of sucks. You get hungry and you get a little irritable. I'm always irritable, so that part wasn't noticeable. But then it's super easy, and I weirdly have a ton of energy I've never had before. I'm losing weight because I'm following the Evolve180WeightLoss.com plan. That's what she's doing.
Why don't you guys just go for a run?
Okay, you want to really know why?
Yeah.
Well, I have three reasons. Number one, I don't like to sweat. Sweating is gross. It's disgusting. Number two, I don't like to exercise. Exercise is gross. It's disgusting. Number three, I have asthma and I can't really run.
Bike. Anything.
Here's why I don't bike. Can I tell you why I don't bike?
Yeah.
Okay, so I've got three reasons. Number one, biking makes you sweat, and sweating is gross. Number two, biking is exercise, and exercise is gross. Number three, I cannot stand bicyclists, and I don't want to become one of them.
All right, you guys can continue torturing yourselves.
It's not torture. I actually feel fantastic. It's weird that when you stop eating and your body gets into a normal, like, fat-burning mode, you don't feel bad. It sucked the first day. I'm not going to lie. The first day was awful. But then it got easier, and now it's super easy. I'm not even hungry.
I'm glad you guys are standing up for the whales.
Well, I'm doing it not for the whales. I'm doing it for birds.
Yeah, I think that... Oh, well.
I'd be the bald eagle. Bald eagles are getting into all the trash at the King County site. They're getting into all the trash. That's sad. I don't want them eating trash. And so I'm going on a hunger strike for 20 hours a day. I mean, I'm eating for the remaining 4 hours, and I'm having a keto-style food. It's fantastic, and I'm actually losing weight and burning a lot of fat, and I'm crazy energized. But I'm doing it for the birds. The eagles. Finally, after nearly 40 years, a Bellevue treasure hunter is in for a big payoff. You see, back in 1981, dude's name is Jack Harbiston. He and his crew spent $12 million trying to find the San Jose. It's a ship that sunk off the coast of Colombia back in 1708. It contained, as of right, what it would cost right now or what it would be worth right now, billions of dollars in gold, silver, and jewels. So he and his team notified the government of Colombia, hey, we found it. We found it. Here it is. How about this? Let's do a deal. Let's split it 50-50. We'll take half, you take half. But right after they agreed to that deal, Colombia, apparently, officials banned Harbiston and his crew from returning to the site. Here he is talking with Cairo 7 TV.
I was stunned. It was a sense of betrayal. The president and his chief of staff and I don't know how many others conspired to take the ship.
I would do the same thing. So in other words, officials conspired to take all of the money.
Politicians come along and see $10 to $20 billion in gold and silver, coins and ingots, buckets of emeralds, and they can't resist it.
Back in 2015, the president of Colombia staged a media event claiming that the San Jose had just been found and it belonged exclusively to the government of Colombia. Then the government began salvaging the money. I think they found about $10 to $20 billion worth of treasure. It depends. And after years of legal battles, because this dude has been suing and trying to get something done, a Colombia court has now ordered the government to stop salvaging the San Jose, clearly because some untoward behavior was conducted, and now he's going to get what's rightfully theirs, 50%.
Every artifact, no matter who collects it, has to go to the bank, and the court then holds it there for us. Once the ship is completely recovered, the court will disperse it, half to the government of Colombia and half for us.
Okay, good for him, but here's the part that pisses me off.
If it was just the money, I would have given it up long ago.
You liar! There's no way that's true, right? There's no way that if it was just about the money, if it was just about the $20 billion that I rightfully should have, I would really think about it. But it's not about that.
It's that it is egregiously wrong what that government of Colombia has done over the years to try to cheat us, to take it all.
I agree that it was egregiously wrong what they did. Don't lie to me and tell me that if it was just about the money, you'd just give this up. You spent $12 million, you and your investors, trying to get this thing from the sea. It's worth $20 billion or so. Don't come up here and tell me that it has nothing to do with the money. And how about this? If it doesn't really have anything to do with the money, just give it to me. I'll take it. Give it to me. I'll disperse it among staff at KTTH. I'll give 10% to Saul. I'll split 1% each to Tom and producer Darren. Don't, the talent always gets way more than the support staff. Don't give me that look. You know, it's billion. It's $20 billion. If he gives me half of that, $10 billion, 1% is like, I don't know, $1 million.
That's...
You're so selfish.
Atrocious.
You're just never happy. So if I give you $1 million, you wouldn't be happy because there's billions more. That's your attitude. How about this? Now you get nothing. Now Darren gets it all. Now Darren gets $2 million. Because you're a jerk.
I'm not even reaching into the sound effect vault right now. That's how atrocious what you just said was.
Okay, I'm so sorry for offering you $1 million of money that you didn't even earn. You're a jerk. You know how many burgers you can buy with that? $1 million? Like, if they were $1 each, you could get $1 million, well, probably less than that because of tax, but you could get a lot of burgers. Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show, live in the online Trading Academy studio. Yesterday, we talked with the president of the UW College Republicans about an increase in violence being perpetuated against conservatives on campus. And later that night, just a few hours later, another prominent conservative was attacked. At an event at the University of Missouri in Kansas City, Daily Wire host Michael Knowles, he was attacked by a protester who hurled some kind of chemical substance at him so he couldn't continue with his speech. It was titled, Men Are Not Women. How controversial. The university has since condemned Michael and not really the students. They begrudgingly said the protester crossed the line. Joining us live on the line is Michael Knowles. Michael, hello.
It's good to be here, Jason.
I know. I'm so glad that you survived. And when I texted you and I asked you to be on the show, I was wondering if you might be triggered by the event that happened yesterday. But you've been kind enough to come on and talk about it. Take us through exactly what happened last night.
So I was invited to give a lecture at the University of Missouri, Kansas City on a fairly innocuous topic. I thought this would be the most boring speech I've ever given. It was on the topic, men are not women. From the moment that I started giving this speech, there was a group of about a dozen leftist agitators who started screaming at the top of their lungs. You can't really hear it on the video because the microphone was being fed directly into the broadcast. Mm-hmm. It was so loud that nobody in the room could hear my speech. They came up to me afterward. They said, was that broadcast? Can I see it on the internet? It was so loud. At one point, about halfway through, they finally stood up. They left. I said, goodbye. See you next time. At that point, out of my periphery, some thug comes up and with a super soaker full of an unknown substance sprays me with an odorous, strange colored liquid. I don't know what it is. I initially thought it was paint because of the look and the smell of it. I was then told later by people who were closer to where the super soaker spilled that it was bleach. I was then now told that it was a non-toxic chemical substance. So we don't really know what it is. I'm glad to say that they didn't bleach my hair blonde or that it wasn't really more harmful to me. Fortunately, the police were very professional. They were able to arrest that guy, get him out of there. Regardless of what he shot at me, regardless of what he was trying to do, the message was very clear. It was a warning shot, to all conservatives on campus that if you don't shut up, if you refuse to kowtow to a leftist ideological fantasy and leftist orthodoxy, you will be bullied, you will be shouted down, you will be physically assaulted, and hey, next time, maybe there will be something a little bit more harmful in that canister.
It was
a message not just to me, it was to every college conservative in the country.
You're right, and what's interesting to me is that you go there, and the expectation from them is that you're just going to bash LGBTQ members, particularly transgender individuals, but that's not actually the intent.
Well, you know I do this all the time, Jason. You know,
all the time.
Hateful.
Guys, you should see the text messages that Michael sometimes sends me. It's outrageous. But that's clearly not the intent of your speech. And I suppose Men Are Not Women is provocative if there are people who want to take a very specific ideological position, which is their right to take. But it's also your right to take the opposite position that they hold.
Of course. And this actually, I suppose, is the point of the lecture. Unfortunately, I didn't get to give most of the lecture. The point is to explain how we came from a perfectly common sense understanding. Men are not women, something 100% of people would have agreed with until 5 minutes ago, and to explore the ideological progression of how we got to this point where this is so controversial. But of course, the leftists on campus didn't want to have that discussion. I told them they could ask any question they want during the Q&A section. They don't want to do that. They don't have an argument. All they can do is resort to violence. And it is so distressing that the university this morning doesn't apologize to me, doesn't apologize to the conservative students. They apologized for inviting me in the first place. They defended the heckler's veto. They defended the students who disrupted the entire event. They they tacitly defended political violence in not going after these students more. And the fear here is I get to leave Kansas City. I'm back in L.A. right now. I flew out this morning. Those students are still there. The students who cheered on a physical assault are still there. The student who assaulted me is still there. What is the consequence going to be for them? And how are they going to receive an education when their own university refuses to defend even their basic rights of property, rights to be free from violence, and rights to explore views, which is what the purpose of a university is supposed to be.
Yeah, well, we know what they're doing. They're doing this because they want to make sure that people like you who hold positions that you hold, which are very much well within the mainstream, by the way, that you don't feel comfortable doing that. If you're just joining us, by the way, Michael Knowles is on the line. You should download his podcast. It's the Michael Knowles Show. You can get it at dailywire.com. It's on iPhones, wherever it is, iTunes, wherever it is you get your podcast. Go ahead and download the Michael Knowles Show. It's always fascinating. What I think is interesting about this is that the timing so close to the President Trump order that suggested, hey, colleges, you better actually adhere to some basic principles of allowing free speech on your college campuses. And yet, that right now, well, yesterday we talked to the UW College Republicans president, Chevy Swanson, said, yeah, we're feeling empowered after that. But it seems that the empowerment is also being held by these idiots who want to silence you through threats and intimidation and, yes, violence.
They want to bully not just the speakers, but they want to bully the students. This is why we're pressing charges against the assailant. That is why we're shedding light on the horrific response of the university administration, is because it is about the future of education in this country. Listen, I can take a punch. I'm a big boy. I can take care of myself. But what if that were some other speaker? What if that were an elderly speaker, someone who can't fight back? What if that were all of the conservative students around this country who are now being told that if they don't shut their mouths, they will face not just exclusion, not just ostracism, not just academic consequences, but they will face bodily harm. We cannot allow that to stand. And the timing, as you say, is exactly right. It's why they're fighting back so hard, and we will not back down. I was asked if I'm now going to cancel my college speaking tour because of physical threats. The college speaking tour just got 10 campuses longer.
Nice.
They tried to send a message to us last night. I think we sent a message to them. We're not going to be bullied, and we're not going to shut up.
Michael Knowles from the Michael Knowles Show over at dailywire.com. Thanks for stopping by.
Great to talk to you, Jason.
It's the Jason Rant Show.